Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dev Radio. My name is Jeremy. I work at Microsoft, and I am really excited to be bringing to you an interview, an online interview, video interview, with a gentleman by the name of Jacob. And Jacob, how do I pronounce your last name? Is it with a V or with a W?
It's with a W. It's Wenger.
A Wenger. Okay, great. Yep. Jacob Wenger. And Jacob's going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about a game that Jacob has produced. And he's gone through the entire development cycle and published the game into the app. And from my experience, developers like yourself that are out in the community trying to figure out exactly how to make this happen can really benefit from hearing from the experiences of somebody that's already gone through the whole process. So that's really the goal here, is to help you hear from somebody who's been through that and has gotten the app all the way to the store and is ready to just kind of share that story. So we actually already have an interview online in the form of a blog post that you're welcome to go look at codefoster.com/Rustic Citrus. That's the name of Jacob's game, is Rustic Citrus. So we're gonna be asking Jacob some of these questions rapid fire style online right now for your benefit. So Jacob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Where do you sit these days?
So I'm working at Microsoft right now on the Internet Explorer team, and so I'm actually in my office, got my Notre Dame stuff behind me. And just taking a little time out to talk with you.
Good. That's great. I'm actually in Redmond myself, so we're kind of enjoying the same weather from across the campus.
Yep.
Well, let's go ahead and start out with some information about yourself and the entity that you formed for building this game and how you came up with the naming for it and how you found time to do something like this on the side.
Yeah, so I'm a graduate of Notre Dame, as you can tell from the stuff behind me. I graduated in 2012 as a computer science major, and soon afterwards, right after I graduated, took the summer off and then went and started working for Internet Explorer. And so I've been doing that for a little over a year now. And so as a computer science major, I obviously have an interest in writing a lot of programs and games and that kind of stuff. And so I've done a wide array of different side projects. This Rustic Citrus actually began as a class project back when I was a sophomore, actually, at Notre Dame. And I kind of put it to the side, thought about making it into an iPhone app or an Android app. And then once, Windows 8 came out and, I came to Microsoft, and, saw how cool Windows 8 platform and, saw the new Windows Store. I thought this would be my chance to actually, turn this into an actual game that a bunch of people can play. And so I have, it's made by Floating House Studios, which is my, the company that I run it under. And so currently I'm the only one there. This is the first big project from Floating House Studios. And so I'm definitely, I'm excited about how this has gone, and hopefully it won't be the last.
Kind of nice being the only employee, right? You probably don't have too much trouble coming up with a consensus.
That is very true. The company meetings go pretty well always.
So. And they're never too early in the morning, right?
that's very true. Yep.
And did you come up with the name Floating House Studios for some reason?
So it was just kind of one of those things that I thought sounded good. I really like, I think branding is really important. And so I like picking names that are, that provide a very good, visual. And so Floating House Studios, I think, makes for a really cool looking logo. Also, I think it sounds like a neat name. So it's definitely important to me to pick a name that, that's really meaningful.
Yeah, I agree. And that does really roll off the tongue. And I think it also has the connotation of home and kind of a good feeling there, right?
Yep, exactly. I think it's definitely important stuff.
Okay, so as far as titles that you, through Floating House Studios, have, is it mostly just Rustic Citrus at this point?
Yeah, Rustic Citrus is the first thing I've been working on.
All right.
I have plans for more stuff in the future.
Okay, now real quick, jumping back in the past a little bit, you studied CS in school. When you were studying in school, was there this concept of app marketplaces and the modern app marketplace?
So it was, it was around the time when I was, a sophomore in school, when the iPhone app store was really starting to blow up. And, you could see developers were making, a lot of money in the app stores. And also, at that point, small indie developers could actually, get their games into the top 25 charts.
Yeah.
Since then, it's kind of changed. Now you have a lot of big players like Zynga, and Gameloft and Rovio. And so it's much harder to get into those app stores. I think the iOS app store is getting close to 1 million apps, which would have been unheard of 5 years ago.
Right.
So it's definitely much harder now to get your apps seen and heard than it used to be.
Yeah, seems like a developer can take a risk though, and maybe hit it really big with an app that is relatively simple.
Right, exactly, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for now. I kind of went to the Windows Store knowing that it's a younger app store compared to the other ones.
Yeah,
and so there aren't as many big named apps. You've had a few like Wordament, Flow started on the Windows Store, and so those kind of things. I feel like it's a better chance to get found in the Windows Store than necessarily in the other app stores. And so that's kind of why I feel like I can start here, maybe get, an app seen and heard on a relatively new platform, and then use that to leverage into the other, the other app stores.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really key. Now in any of the online markets, in any of the app markets, it tends to be kind of hard to sift through the cruft and find the apps that are really quality. And it seems like Rustic Citrus is one of those apps where you find it and you use it and you go, wow, this just feels right and looks right. It looks like a real app, like some real time and intention went into it. Was that very purposeful?
That definitely was. I think that goes back to the branding thing. I really wanted this to be an app where people get it and they felt that it's polished. Like, I want people to, get an app that's from Floating House Studios and to understand that, like, have the expectation going in that it's going to be, very polished, going to look great, sound great. There's not going to be bugs. It's not going to be crashing every other time you open it.
Yeah.
So that was something, I put a lot of time in at the end just to make sure that the little things were working.
Yeah, the
and
polish.
I think it's paid off with, with good reviews that I've gotten. I think people realize those extra mile that I went to get the app to where
Yeah,
it is
they
today.
Definitely do. In working with developers, it seems like the initial minimum viable product, the initial game concept can come along pretty quickly, and then that ends up being maybe just a third or a half of your development time, and then the rest of the time really can be spent polishing the game and making sure that all of the kinks are worked out and all the user experience is real solid.
That's definitely true. I think you see that not just on small projects like doing an app, but also even on bigger projects, like working on Internet Explorer. Making a product do something is one thing, but making it actually consumer ready, both security-wise and performance-wise, it takes a lot of extra time that you don't really factor in at the beginning.
Yeah, right. Well, can you tell us how you came up with the idea for Rustic Citrus and also how you came up with the name for Rustic Citrus?
Yeah, so the game is based off of an old MSN game that I used to play called Text Twist. And so essentially the way the game works is that you get, you have a set of letters. So you have 5, 6, or 7 letters. And from there, you have to spell as many words as you can from that set of letters. And you have 2 minutes each round to do that. And in order to move on to the next round, you need to find at least one word that uses every letter. And so I played this game when I was younger called Text Twist. And it was, it's a very addicting game. Always trying to beat my high score. But I never, when I was playing it, I never really liked the look of it. It didn't have some features I wanted, like, saving your high score and, some other stuff like that. And so I kind of wanted to make my own version. And so I did this as a class project. It was, I did it in C++. Ran on Windows, and I got it working, and did well on the project, and people seemed to like it. And then I kind of tabled it, and like I said, I kind of recently resurrected it as a Windows 8 app, got new visuals and actually put the time to make it such that other people could play it. You mentioned the name Rustic Citrus. I usually get people who wonder why it's called that. Some people are able to pick up on that, the fact that rustic and citrus are anagrams of each other. So they use the same set of letters. What I actually did was I had my dictionary of words, and I wrote a little script that went through and found all the words that were anagrams of each other, in the hopes that maybe two of them sounded good together. When I saw rustic and citrus next to each other, I knew I had my name, because it gives me, I think it's a really interesting name, unique name. It also gives me a great set of visuals, both the rustic color scheme and also the citrus, the oranges and the fruit and that kind of thing.
So I guess it is feasible that you start a six-letter game and you end up with two of the words being rustic and citrus, right?
That is very true, and there's actually now an achievement for that, if you to make that happen.
So you have achievements built into it. Is that new?
Yes, that is new. So I launched the version 1.0 about 2 months ago now, just about, I'd say, 2 weeks ago, I launched version 1.1, which added some perf improvements. Games load faster, and the whole app loads faster. It fixed a few bugs, and then also added achievements, was the big thing. So now there are 55 unique achievements for you to earn.
Oh, that's fun. I actually opened the app the other day and noticed that all of a sudden there were three buttons on the start screen. That's new,
yep.
Right?
Yep, that is the new button was the achievements.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, and kind of speaks to the auto-update feature of Windows 8.1, which I really enjoy. My apps just get updated automatically. I don't have to go through and maintain that.
Yep, and it's great for consumers when they don't have to deal with it. It's also great for developers, because that means everyone is going to be using the newest version of your app. Which is huge.
Yeah, that is a really big deal. You all of a sudden get the downloads of people that are updating it, right?
Yep, that is true.
So can you give us some examples of things that a game developer can do to make sure that the experience is really good and the design of the app is really good, so that they're going to be one of those apps that, not just in its function and in its content, but also in its interaction, appears to be one of those top-tier apps?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that I've noticed from a few apps is you need to make sure your app is bug-free, as bug-free as you can make it. Whenever you're playing an app and the app crashes, or you can't get beyond some point because of some bug, that right there is going to keep you from having your app become successful. So that would be probably the biggest thing. It seems obvious, but sometimes games don't take that into consideration. Another one is that I found is having a good branding, having a good look to your app is really very important. Being a young app store, Windows 8 has some new apps which just don't feel like they belong on the platform. And also, you can tell the design, they didn't really put a lot of time into the design or the user experience. Whether that being there's so many layers of menu. The buttons are in random places. It's really important to spend some time and think about the user experience, not just the user interface that you have. Little things that I tried adding were small little animations. Whether that be when you first load Rustic Citrus, you get a nice animation coming in, just like you would on your start screen, where the main menu buttons kind of slide in from the side and fade in. And those kind of things those little touches really make it feel like it belongs to the Windows platform. I think those add a nice user experience.
Actually, one of the things I like the most about Rustic Citrus is the fact that it does kind of encapsulate the game inside of a standard Windows 8 navigation paradigm, where I feel like I'm in Windows 8 because I have the same menu that allows me to play whatever style game I want, and all of the games that I've played are contained in what looks like the list view that I see even on my start page, what looks, you know, just like the classic tiles. So I know that a lot of game developers choose to just create a box and all the graphics are their own thing, and there's not really any differentiation. Like a user would even know what platform they're on for a lot of games, but for Rustic Citrus, it really does use that modern paradigm.
Right. That was definitely an intentional decision. I noticed that a lot of games, just didn't look like they belonged on the platform.
Yeah.
And so the use of the list views, the use of the navigation, the use of like things like the app bar, were definitely things that I knew from the get-go that I wanted to include in the app.
That's really neat. It's all about setting the user's expectations. You know, they know where that app bar is because they've been using this system, and they know how to navigate those list views of tiles, right?
Yep, definitely. It's, you know, Windows 8 has a bit of a learning curve, but once you figure out, you know, the actions, especially the interactions with the edge of the screen, it becomes, you know, a very useful tool to have, you know, extra set of options that are off screen for the most part.
Yeah, sometimes I just kind of end up feeling like I'm awesome when I'm browsing Windows 8. You know, windows are flying all over the place and animations are going off, and I'm just kind of controlling the whole thing real fluidly. So
yep,
it's always definitely good to feel awesome.
Yep, that's very true.
Hey, can you tell us about the language that you chose to write this app in, and why, and what libraries or frameworks you used?
Yep. So being a developer and explorer, I know the power of the modern web. And so I really wanted to showcase that and prove that you don't need, you know, a special game library to write, you know, Windows 8 apps, Windows 8 games specifically. And so the app is completely written in HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. Hmm. And I also tried to limit the usage of external libraries and just try and use the built-in things. But I did include the jQuery library, just to make, you know,
that's kind of a given,
shorter, and yeah, just for those handy functions that it provides.
Yeah.
And also I used an SVG library called Raphael.
Okay.
And that was just for, I don't have a ton of experience with Canvas. And that was just for, you know, kind of make the jump into Canvas a little bit easier. So I used that on the game board. But other than that, like a very minimal usage of that, everything else is just straight HTML and JavaScript.
Okay.
So,
and what, can you give me an example of one of the functions or features that Raphael.js gave to you?
Yeah, so Raphael, I use in two areas. The one is where I have a list of the different words that can be spelled in the current round. And also one is for the letters that are available. So those little oranges with letters on them. Uh-huh. And I use those. Raphael helped me position them on the page much easier than doing it in HTML or CSS. And also for things like, I'm working on implementing drag and drop, and also like hover effects and some things like that, which are definitely possible in HTML and CSS straight, but it's a little quicker if you do them using Canvas.
Okay, so Raphael is actually helping you use Canvas, but it's an SVG library. So clear that up for me, because
yes,
I know that normally SVG doesn't occur inside of a Canvas, right?
So that you can have SVG outside of a Canvas, but mm-hmm, Raphael uses the Canvas elements.
Uses
SVG within it. And actually, one nice thing about Raphael is that you actually can query elements in Canvas. So you would in regular JavaScript, where you mm-hmm can query for all things that have this class name, mm-hmm, you can also do that using elements in Canvas, which is not as easy if you're just using straight Canvas.
Right. And is it actually doing the Canvas calls to draw things into Canvas, or is it just kind of rendering an overlay on top of the Canvas with those vector-based graphics?
I believe it's rendering on top.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yep.
So overall, you like the technology stack, the language stack that you got to use, huh?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think, you know, HTML and JavaScript are nowadays, especially, you know, with IE10 and with IE11 coming out, it's you know, as standardized as any other browser, and you know, you have a lot of cool things at your fingertips.
Yeah, you know, people say that the larger the app that you're creating, the harder it is to maintain your JavaScript. Did you run into any of that, or did you feel like it was pretty decent to maintain?
So it definitely, JavaScript is hard without, you know, without classes, and, you know, it's definitely not the easiest. It's not as easy as maybe C++ to, you know, for a large app. But I, you know, being a person who works on IE and a web developer, I think I've, you know, come to some certain frameworks that work nicely. And, you know, the out-of-the-box, the Windows 8 kind of provides you with a nice tree, or, you know, directory structure, where you have different pages, which you know, each within your pages folder, you have like a main menu folder, which has your HTML, JavaScript, and CSS right there. And then your game board will be in a different part of that directory structure. And so that, you know, makes it easier because you're able to keep, you know, different pieces of your code in different parts of the directory structure. So that helped right out of the box. But other things, you know, it definitely, there are times where I'm kind of, you know, pulling my hair trying to get, you know, certain functions that I need in certain places. But I think just, you know, from experience, I've kind of learned those good practices to use.
Yeah. Yeah, my experience is pretty similar with JavaScript. There are times when I go, oh boy, I want my C# back. You know, I haven't gotten to, haven't figured out how to make things as easy as they were in C# for some areas. And then sometimes I jump into a C# task and I go, boy, this sure would be a lot easier if I was writing it in JavaScript.
Yep, that's definitely true. There's trade-offs from all those things.
Right. Well, Jacob, tell us about the decisions that you made regarding the monetization strategy for Rustic Citrus and why you made those.
Yeah, so monetization is one of those tough things that I don't have a lot of experience with. This is the first app where I've made where I'm actually trying to sell it. But my thought process was I thought this kind of app would have worked really well as like a 99-cent app on either iPhones or on Android devices. And so I looked at the prices for other apps on the Windows Store, and I noticed that, you know, apps like Angry Birds, which were 99 cents on Apple devices, were actually, you know, closer to $4.99 on like tablets and in the Windows Store.
Right.
And so I saw that there was a higher average price for tablet apps. Mm-hmm. And also the Windows Store actually has, if your app is not going to be free, the minimum price is $1.49, not 99 cents. And so, you know, I took all this information and I said, you know, I want to try and sell this for some value. And I don't really think it's going to provide $5 worth of value like Angry Birds, at least not at this point. So maybe I'll try and go for a lower market. And then I priced it at $1.99. And, you know, I'm still, you know, even to this day, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, is that what I want to do? You know, have I lost sales because of that? It's hard for me to measure those things. But I think it's a competitive price compared to the other apps that are out there on the market. And also the other important thing I did was I included a free trial, which you get a 1-day free trial just to see the game, hopefully get addicted to it. And if that's the case, then you'll be willing to shell out, you know, $1.99.
Yeah. Which is actually not even, a mocha or a latte these days.
Right. Exactly.
I don't even think you can get a pastry for that. It's more like one of those little cake pops or something.
It's when you put it in those kind of terms, you would think more people would be willing to download these apps and just give them a try.
Right.
You know, it's a very mental thing nowadays with the app stores trying to, you know, get people to buy your app. You know, people are accustomed to getting things for free, for software apps for free.
Right.
So you're kind of fighting an uphill battle especially if you're not a big player.
Right. Yeah, I think that one of the sweet spots in the stores is kids games, because with kids games, it's really a parent, of course, that's deciding to purchase the game. And if you find a game that entertains your kids and keeps them content, I think you could probably charge about $49.99 for those types of games.
I'm sure.
Now, is this this game development, you know, you're doing this in the evenings and weekends on your own time. Is this something that you genuinely enjoy?
Yeah, this is definitely, you know, this is my second job, right? But it's my passion. It's what I really enjoy doing, not just game development, but just, you know, web development and app development in general. You know, when I'm out from work and, you know, have some dinner, and usually I'm back at my computer working on Rustic Citrus.
Yeah,
it's something I'm passionate about, and you know, it's something I hope I can make a career out of someday.
So this is kind of cool that I pay $1.99 for Rustic Citrus today, and then And then next week or next month or whatever, you do a whole bunch of work in the app and make these improvements, and bam, I've got the latest version.
Yep, exactly. That's once you pay that opening fee, I'm going to make it sure that any future update you won't have to pay for.
That's pretty awesome.
So right now I'm working on a multiplayer version of the game, which I think is going to be a really fun feature.
Oh, wow, really? Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm working on getting that up and running where, you know, connecting with Facebook, and you can play your Facebook friends, and you can play your friends, you know, in your Microsoft contacts, those kind of things. And I think that would, those kind of features, if you've already purchased the game, you'll get those continued for free.
Now, have you thought about what your IPO price is going to be and when you're going to do that?
I don't know. Twitter did a pretty good job putting it as a 26. They're up at, you know, 40-something now. So
yeah,
maybe I'll start there.
And that would be a good idea.
Yep.
Well, Jacob, it's been really fun talking with you about this game. Congratulations on it.
Thank you.
Good luck working on the iterations and everything.
Great. It was great talking to you, and hopefully we can do this again for the next game.
All right. Well, on behalf of the developers, thank you. Thank you for making your work public and talking about it, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.